This is Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Please stand for the reading of Gospel of Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of their house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of the Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today is a day of transitions. You may have noticed that Walmart was especially busy this weekend as students transitioned back into town and their parents left them with all of the toilet paper and paper towels. It's a season of transition for students who are in elementary school and middle school and high school as they move up in grades. Everybody's trying to get used to a new rhythm, a new routine, a new way of being. And there's even more transition happening here at the church. Today's Jacob's last Sunday with us. He's blessed us so richly over this past year. Today is also Hannah Weaver and Scott Kaplinger's last Sunday among us. And you might be thinking, where in the world are they? They're in the back of the room running our audio and video, making sure we're streamed live week after week. Transitions, though, are tough. They're hard. They can be fear-filled at times. It's been a fearful week in our house. We've struggled some with transitions. But we don't have to be afraid. That's what Jesus says in our scripture text this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that in all times and all places you call us to deeper faithfulness to you. That you strengthen us and tell us not to be afraid, to not worry, because you are with us and you go before us and you surround us. So we pray those very promises over each person in this room today, but especially over Jacob, Hannah, and Scott. Lord, be there all in all. Surround them with your grace. Transform them as you transform us by the power of your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Growing up, we had a Saturday night ritual in our house. At least my brother and I did. Every Saturday night was an amazing time because in the 90s, on Saturday nights, Nickelodeon had Snick at Night. Snick at Night. It was an amazing time because at 8 p.m., Clarissa Explains It All came on. And I didn't watch that one bit because I'm a guy, right? No, I'm just kidding. It was Snick. I was going to watch it. So we watched Clarissa Explains It All, this teen drama of sorts, comedy drama, sitcom. After that, this hilarious comedy show called All That came on, launching the career of lots of different comedians. It was incredible. It was funny. It was great. After that was Ren and Stimpy, which was a cartoon we probably should not have been watching as kids. And every Snick, every Saturday night, Nick closed out with one thing, one show, called Are You Afraid of the Dark? Are You Afraid of the Dark? Which was this teen horror show that told scary stories, and it was truly terrifying. I thought for a minute about showing you the intro, but it gave me the creeps when I was watching it online. It was sort of like R.L. Stine goosebump stories or scary stories to tell in the dark style stories put on camera. Nickelodeon was capitalizing in those days both on the power of good stories and the fact that our world can be a scary place, especially to a teenager whose world is changing all around him or all around her. Even for teens in the 90s, the world was a place that was scary and full of fear. You know, I wish I could say that I left all of my fears behind on Saturday nights in the 90s, that today I don't fear anything. But the truth is, our world is filled with fear. Things to be afraid of. There's terrorism. There's war in the Ukraine. There's economic volatility. There's inflation. There's global warming. There's disease and pandemic and death. The truth is, it's impossible to escape fear in our culture. You can walk through your neighborhood or drive down the interstate and you'll see signs about fear all around you. If you stay at home, there are newscasters ready to tell you all of the bad news from the comfort of their studios. Not only that, but our email inboxes and social media feeds are constantly bombarded with messages to tell us everything that we should be afraid of, that we should fear this, that, or them. And along with it, how this thing or that candidate or this group is a solution to all of those fears, the antidote to everything that we are afraid of. Even in the church, we have people who are fear-mongering, trying to convince us that the sky is falling and our denomination is coming apart at the seams. You can't escape it, even here. But let me let you in on a little secret, friends. This is not really a little secret. I hope you know it. Here in this house, here in this church, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus, the Son of God, sent from the Father, who has and is ransoming us from the power of sin, death, and yes, even fear, friends. Not only that, but we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live lives that confront the powers of evil, justice, and oppression in all the forms they present themselves. Not only that, but we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who is cheering us on as we make disciples and transform the world, and yes, raise up another generation of Jesus followers who are unafraid because they know who they are and whose they are. The world will sell you fear again and again and again. But I'm here today to echo the words of Jesus to tell you that you don't have to be afraid. You see, into all of our fear, into all of your fear, Jesus gives us an extraordinary word of comfort. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not be afraid. Those are the first words of our scripture text today, but that is the concluding thought of the verses that came before them. Verses where Jesus tells us not to worry about our lives, what we will eat, or about our body, or what we will wear, because life is about more than food and clothes. God cares for the ravens and the flowers of the field. You know these verses from the Sermon on the Mount. Won't He care for you? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life, since you and I cannot do this very little thing? Why do you worry about the rest? Jesus says, but instead of worrying, instead of losing your cool, instead of running away, instead of living in fear, seek first God's kingdom. And all of these things, food, clothing, and more will be given to you as well. Because it's God's pleasure. It's God's pleasure, choir, to give you the kingdom. It's God's pleasure to open eternity for you, church. It's God's pleasure. Instead of stockpiling and hoarding and building bigger barns for your treasure like we talked about last week, Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Friends, if your treasure lives in a bank account or an investment account, if your treasure is in your backyard or sits in your driveway or on a lake or a river, or if your treasure happens to be the place where you live, you have every reason to be afraid. You have every reason to live in fear. Because we know how quickly the market can turn, don't we? You know that cars break down. You know that boats sink and houses catch fire. If your treasure is something that you can put your hands on in this world, then you better get some insurance. And there's several agents here in the church that would love to sell you a policy that'll be at the right, fit your right needs at the right price. If your treasure is here, you should be afraid. But here's the thing. Our Father in heaven desires to give us his kingdom, a treasure that will never fail, a treasure that is secure, that can't sink or burn or break down. It can't be stolen. And Jesus says even the moths can't get to it. If your treasure is the kingdom of God, then you can sell everything you have and give to the poor because your treasure is in heaven. And if your treasure is in heaven, then you have no need for bigger barns to contain the blessings you have today because your true inheritance is secure. You can share because the world can't touch what you've got. But what is this treasure? What is this kingdom that Jesus talks about? It's eternal life with God. It's eternal life with God offered to us through Jesus Christ, who bled and died for us and for our salvation. And more than that, he rose again so that we could experience resurrection too. See? This is the thing. If your eternity is secure in heaven, you can do all of those things. You can live with hope and without fear. You can sell all you have and give it to the poor because what you have isn't who you are. You can share the blessings that you've received because they pale in comparison to the treasure of eternal life with God. So do not worry and do not fear. Y'all, a lot of times when this passage of Scripture is preached, preachers like to talk about the end times. I told you, Larry, we're going to talk about the end times today, so here we are. Preachers talk about the end times, what to look for, what to wait on. I've seen preachers with large maps to let you locate exactly where you happen to be in the tribulation cycle. Friends, I've read the Left Behind series, and I've been left afraid. But this passage of Scripture isn't so much about the end of times as it is about the end ways. It's not so much about what's going to happen as it is how we ought to go about living regardless of the age that we find ourselves in. We're supposed to be dressed and ready for our Master's return. Well, what does that mean? I think it's an encouragement for us to do what disciples of Jesus Christ do, to once again be undistracted in our discipleship. Being dressed and ready means to be about making disciples and transforming the world because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Friends, don't let anybody deceive you. Jesus would tell us to be dressed and ready by loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, because that's what we're supposed to be doing, friends. He would tell us to be dressed and ready by blessing the people around us instead of building bigger barns for our blessings. He would tell us to be dressed and ready by spending time in intentional prayer, by doing the Lord's work wherever we find ourselves as missionaries sent out into the world by Jesus himself, and by picking up those who've fallen into the ditches of life. That's what a life lived without worry and fear looks like. And it's the life that you're invited to receive today. Not from me, but from God through Jesus Christ. That kind of life is offered to you here today at the table of God's grace, where you're invited to taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good and his word is true. You see, when we come to the table of grace, we don't take communion. We receive communion. We receive the grace of God for ourselves. We receive the inheritance that God has for us. And we're nourished. And we're strengthened, and we're reminded that no matter what we face in life, that we can live without fear because our treasure is secure, because our eternity is secured, because our treasure is in heaven with God. So do not worry and do not be afraid, little flock. It's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Would you come and receive it today? Would you open your hands and your heart and your life to receive the gift of everlasting life from a God who loved you so much, he would give everything for you? Would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, as we come to this table of your grace, we pray, God, that we would come with a confidence that comes from knowing you and from being reminded, Lord, that in this life we have nothing to fear because you are with us, that you go before us and surround us, that we have nothing to fear because God's desire is not to pour out wrath upon us, but to bless us with his kingdom. Lord Jesus, help us to be unafraid. Help us to face the future with confidence, knowing that you are the one who's making a way for us. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.